This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Friday the 8th of July, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, as we approach the festivities, we unfortunately are beginning to hear cases of COVID-19 more among family and friends. And in fact, on Wednesday, the nation recorded around 3,500 new COVID-19 cases, making it the first time hitting more than 3,000 new daily cases since April this year. Currently, there were more than 31,000 active cases, with 96% of them observing home quarantine and around 4% being admitted to hospital for treatment. ICU utilization rates in the country currently hover around 60%, with Selangor recording the highest number at around 78%. Aside from that, we have also learned that at the moment, the Omicron BA4 and BA5 subvariants have become the dominant strains in several countries abroad. In response, Health Minister Kari Jamaluddin has been urging senior citizens and high-risk groups to take the second booster dose to enhance their immunity. So what's the science behind the second booster dose? And when will we see, if we do, a new COVID-19 wave? For some answers, we speak to Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam. He's the senior lecturer and co-lead at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Good morning, Doctor. Thanks for speaking to us again. Now, what can you tell us about the BA4 and the BA5 subvariants? What's the difference between these variants than the ones before?
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Now, with more than 548 million infections worldwide and more than 6.3 million deaths, right? COVID-19 has emerged as one of the most devastating human pandemics in recent times. And an important question lingering in many of us for more than 2 years, when will this end? Right? Unfortunately, there is no definite timeline, because of mutations, right? Viruses evolve, viruses mutate because they're constantly making copies of themselves in huge numbers each time when it's transmitted from one person to another, right? And the chances of making mutations, making errors from one person to another person is extremely high, especially in the case of RNA viruses, right? And this is the case for the currently rapidly spreading BA lineage, right? Or BA variants, which the World Health Organization labeled as Omicron. Now, what we are having now, right? Now, initially, we had BA1, right? The original Omicron variant. Now, we are having BA2, BA1.1, BA3, BA4, and BA5. So these are sub-variants from the original Omicron variants, right? Because Omicron had spread swiftly, it has many opportunities to mutate and acquire specific mutation of its own. Right. So the main differences are, of course, the acquired mutations between the subvariants. For example, BA2 variant, right, has 8 unknown mutations not seen in BA1. Right. And each of these mutations allows this virus to transmit even more better and evade immunity from vaccines better.
Okay. Do people feel more sick, though, if they unfortunately get these BA4 and BA5 subvariants? What's the symptoms like?
That's a very good question. Now, before that, data shows that, right, Omicron subvariants, for example, BA2.12.1, right, only modestly more resistant to serum from vaccinated and boosted individuals when you compare to BA2, the original variant. Right, around 1.84-fold. When you look at BA4 and 5, right, it's substantially more resistant, around 4.2-fold. That means even though you are boosted, right, there's chances of you getting vaccine breakthrough infections are high, right, are high. Now, the key question is, of course, whether this current circulating BA4 and 5 will outcompete all subvariants and pose a key, problem, a threat. That is the problem. And while, you know, a severity is not shown to be, you know, worse than Delta, right? In terms of transmissibility, right? It is extremely transmissible, right? In fact, it has the highest RO value, similar to measles, the most transmissible virus that we have, okay? So, of course, with immunity waning, you know, for those who have boosted more than 6 months and for this, vulnerable groups, children, elderly above 60 years old, people who are immunocompromised, people who are not vaccinated. So chances of them getting severe symptoms, you know, it's high.
Okay. So, Dr. Vinod, we know more than 3,000 new daily cases the first time since April this year. So what can we do to actually protect ourselves against this BA4 and BA5 subvariants, which you say are very transmissible?
Absolutely. Now, we know that infections are starting to show increase. We know that ICUs are, you know, slowly, you know, creeping, increasing, right? Good news is that mortality rate was not as high as the time where Delta variant was its peak, right? While our previous vaccinations provide us with some form of immunity, right? If BA4 and BA5 continues to surge, there's a chance that we might need second booster dose to reduce the burden in our hospitals, right? Especially those, like I said before, you know, the group with waning immunity, those who are, you know, immunocompromised, elderly, children, right? So the second booster dose is the, you know, only way that we have now. Of course, together with the new antivirals that are being approved, you know, Paxlovid being one. So a multi-pronged, avenues are needed.
And is it very important for people to maintain their own personal SOPs? Because I have to confess, I see people walking around without masks quite often
absolutely,
nowadays.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is absolutely pertinent. Now, as I reiterated many times before, right, current vaccines themselves are insufficient to stem transmission, right? More so with the current subvariants, which are, you know, extremely potent in evading vaccine immunity. Right now, this, you know, an increase in cases should be expected whenever public health and social measures are lifted, right? Irrespective of vaccination coverage, right? Malaysia and much of the world need to continue with effective measures, right, to bring transmission under control. Of course, these include all the previous SOPs, which was working well, right? You know, wearing well-fitted masks in crowded areas, hand hygiene, proper cough etiquette, you know, improving ventilation in indoor spaces. Just because that you can, you know, go for a gathering, yeah, does not mean that, you know, you should not protect yourself, right, with masks or, you know, at least, you know, physical distancing as much as you can, you know, avoiding crowded spaces if possible. And of course, you know, staying at home if you are unwell.
Okay, then do you think the second booster shot should be made available for the rest of the population? Because the focus has always been at the moment the senior citizens above 60 and those who are in the high risk group.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now we know that Moderna, Pfizer are actually developing Omicron-based boosters, second generation of vaccine boosters, and that might take some time. Mm-hmm. Good news is that second booster, there are data showing that second booster, you know, provides, you know, boost back immunity, right? Although you might get reinfected, the symptoms won't be as severe, right, as previous variants or subvariants. So what you can do is that, you know, get second booster if you're eligible, right? For now, for the, you know, the important groups, the vulnerable groups, which I said before, you know, are priority. But depending on cases, depending on ICU usage, you know, I have a feeling that we might need the second booster for the rest of the population.
All right. And we also have started to see cases of reinfection. So they had COVID earlier and then getting it again. Mm-hmm. What are the health risks involved? I mean, is the second time worse than the first time for those who unfortunately get COVID-19?
You know, different people react differently. For some, you know, we knew that from previous data that, you know, you will be protected at least 12 weeks. Now, people are getting earlier than 12 weeks, reinfection, you know, if you were previously infected. Now, this is simply because of this current subvariant's ability, you know, to really good at evading antibodies, immunity, you know, given by vaccines. And for some, the symptoms are quite bad, right? Of course, not life-threatening, right? Because these vaccines have provided us some form of immunity, right? Some form of humoral immunity. So it differs. The symptoms differs from each individual to each.
But it should be remembered that people shouldn't take it for granted. I think at one time people thought if they caught it once, they wouldn't get it again. That's clearly not the case, right, Doc?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a false sense of security. Oh, I've infected before, or and I'm hearing people are saying, oh, I'm vaccinated before, it's fine. You know, it's just like a normal flu. You know, so it may be a normal flu for you, but it can be a death sentence for someone else who's more vulnerable. So that you must take into account.
Okay, Doc, help us, tell us a little bit about this oral antiviral drug, Paxlovid. I mean, it's now available in private health facilities. Who should be getting it? What is it useful for?
Always, you know, when there is a disease caused by RNA viruses, multi-pronged avenues, multi-pronged attack against these viruses is always good, right? So, you know, Paxlovid is another avenue, right? So basically, you know, based on studies conducted so far, it should be prescribed within 5 days of symptoms, right, to get the best of it, right? Taking the pills within this window, within the 5 days, have shown to lower the risk of severe illness or hospitalization by 89%,
okay.
Right? Especially for those who are vulnerable with the worst effects of COVID-19 in the vulnerable group.
Okay.
Okay. And one good news is that, right, there's recent publication showing that Paxlovid is effective against the BA2 subvariant.
Okay.
That is a bit of good news, yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time. That's Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam. He's a senior lecturer and co-lead at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Up next, we've got The Breakfast Grill, where Philip C. will take us to infinity and beyond with Florence Tan, Deputy Chief Technologist and Chair of the Small Spacecraft Coordination Group at NASA. In the meantime, up next is the 8 a.m. News Bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.